It's not the final pod, but it is the cup final pod. In England, Arsenal break FA Cup records as Wenger makes Sherwood rub his temples at the cathedral of football that is Wembley. Sort of. In Germany, Wolfsburg say Danke Kloppo as they swipe pesky Dortmund aside, while en France, Auxerre failed to pull off a coup in the coup. Finally, the Copa del Rey, in which Messi dribbles past every Basque person alive before slotting it into the near post. There's Moomoo of the Week, FIFA chat, yes, they are two different things, and other bits and bobs. Post-season kosh, begin. It's cup final day, all the cup finals have happened, everyone should be in a good mood, especially Mohamed, because Arsenal won.
I'm really happy today. I'm actually
smiles.
Yeah.
And Roche, you should be happy because you played softball with me yesterday and hit two home runs. You beast.
You know, what can I say? It happens every week.
It's happened one week.
Taking it in stride.
It's happened once, yes. Literally.
Yeah, very good. Bernie, how are you, man?
I'm all right. I'm not happy.
Why?
Arsenal won the FA Cup.
Oh, you bitter man.
Mm. Well, it's more than that. There's a bit of a United Arsenal there in there as well. With a
Explain to us the record that just got broken.
I didn't care about that.
Sure?
But I'll explain it. Yeah. United and Arsenal were joint top of the all-time FA Cup win charts with 11 each. Mm-hmm. And now Arsenal have 12. And I think Wenger has the most of any manager.
Six. Wenger has six. Like the next, I think, is Mourinho at five? Or Ferguson at five? Something like that. I think Ferguson at five.
I mean, it kind of shows that you don't have much history. But anyway.
Well, it shows,
shows
that Wenger is...
Whoa! Shots fired! Shots have been fired here today, guys. We should call 911.
It's the day that Arsenal won the cup final. You can fire as many shots as you want.
Yeah, exactly. But it was... I mean, the game was... everyone expected it to be kind of Arsenal's favourites, obviously. I mean, it was 3rd versus 17th or whatever. Villa tried to kind of...
They pressed high.
They did. They actually pressed really high at the beginning, but... Arsenal played really well around them. They didn't give in to the long ball. They kept trying to plug through, and eventually it happened, and it was pretty easy occasion, really.
Yeah, I have to say, it was a one-sided affair, and, you know, good for Arsenal, because in the last couple of cup finals or semifinals they've had, they've really struggled against the really weak teams, like, you know, your Hull Cities, for
Wiggins,
example.
Wiggins, yeah.
And your Wiggins. But today against Aston Villa, who are actually... Alex, I'm going to say this, bang in form.
No, they lost their last two league games. Yeah.
Okay, but they'd already done their job. You know.
Yeah,
they had some momentum coming into this final.
Yeah, but you're only as good as your last game.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, on that note.
No, I think on this game, the one thing that really stood out to me was, I don't know, who won Man of the Match? Was it Ozil?
No, I don't know.
Because I thought he was Man of the Match, personally. Yes. Watching that game, the passing, the little... It's just the way he was gliding across the pitch, and he was conducting things from the offensive line. I know Cazorla was, you know, dictating the pace from the middle, but I just really thought Mesut Ozil was brilliant in this game, and everyone sort of took his lead.
Yeah, he was a puppet master in that. Again, it was kind of the intangibles a lot of the time, but he was directing the way that Arsenal
played. He was
played.
A great link between defense and attack. Like, he just helped kind of create that momentum going between the Cazorla and the Coquelin to the Sanchez and the Walcott.
Well, you could see it was a difference in class in the game. Like, you look at Aston Villa, you think, where is the class? Where is the magic? Where, you know, who's going to make something happen? And the guy who could make it happen for that team, Delph, had a bad day.
Arsenal's midfield, like, if you try and win a game in midfield against Arsenal, it's not a good idea.
Well, I think that's where Sherwood got this wrong. He was speaking in the press, on the radio or whatever it was, before the game, and he was saying, we don't need to park the bus. He said, we can go for this, we can go toe-to-toe with Arsenal, we don't need to park the bus. I think he did. I think you saw in the last two league games, Swansea and Sunderland, that parking, well, the penultimate league games, that parking the bus works quite well against Arsenal if you do it properly. And Villa went to press high, and Arsene Wenger chose to play Theo Walcott up front today, which Mahan and I were hoping that he would do.
Masterstroke, he got the opening goal.
Absolutely. And Villa's back centre-back too are slow.
Incredibly
as
slow,
hell.
Correct.
And bald.
And bald, yeah.
Which works in Walcott's favour, yes. Yeah.
Although you'd think the baldness would mean more aerodynamic.
To be fair, Villa's midfield with Tom Cleverley over there, kind of ineffective at the end of the day.
There were a lot of fouls going on.
There was Delph, what's his name?
Westwood?
Westwood, yeah. They couldn't really stand their authority on the game, which is understandable, which is why I say you cannot beat Arsenal in midfield. You have to kind of take it on the wings, a lot of crosses, kind of play a Benteke is the big man, but he didn't have a great game either.
The service to him was poor.
It was. That's true. So the first goal was Walcott's goal. Kind of the cross came in, I think, from either Manuel or Ozil, and Sanchez kind of put it back in the danger zone.
Sanchez winning the header at the back post.
He should not have won that.
6 foot.
I think Wenger was watching Fellaini and Gomis and thought, you know what, Alexis,
go to that post as well. Yeah.
Target man.
Yeah, and then fell down to Walcott really nicely, and he really finished that with the left foot. Really, I mean, doing his best. I mean, his best Giroud impression.
Yes, and credit to him for maintaining his composure in that situation, because a lot of people A would have slashed at that, and B he missed a golden opportunity a few minutes before he was blocked on the line by Richardson, who looked, as Bernie said, like
he looked like a Mexican drug lord. It was amazing. His hair slicked back, and the way his mustache was,
slightly overweight as well.
Ooh, he looked like El Jefe over there.
My friend Jack, who's a Villa fan, the only Villa fan I've ever met. Texted me as soon as he saw Richardson. He was like, Richardson, top knot, unstoppable.
And then the second, this was the pick of the bunch. Sanchez's goal was unbelievable. He took the ball and he's like, okay, here it goes. And he just did that knuckle shot.
It was kind of like the goal he scored against Liverpool in the league.
But more calculated. He had more time to slide.
Yes, I have to say, this one was much more pretty. And coming off the underside of the crossbar.
As the ball was going towards goal, I actually kind of thought, okay, this is too high, good chance, but not going in. And then it very last minute kind of dipped.
That surprised me. Rocher gets at Pizza Hut, man. Like, that was next level.
I don't know, more dip than with the fish and chips.
I'm not sure about that, because I get a lot of dip. but to be fair, this game, okay, so it was 1-0 at halftime, despite the plethora of chances Arsenal had. But then the second half, this game really opened up, and I think the final scoreline is pretty reflective of
If you look at the first half, right, Arsenal dominated it, but I don't think they did too much besides the goal. There were obviously some chances, but it never felt like that marauding performance. Second half, once that Sanchez absolute golazo went in, you know, they got freer, they started doing more things, they started, you know, the way they were moving the ball, it was faster because the confidence was in. And Alexis Sanchez this season, right, that goal to me encapsulates his whole season, because he's an off-the-cuff player, and he's a type of off-the-cuff player that I think Arsenal need to win the league moving forward. You need that kind of guy who all of a sudden can bring out the magic instead of the tip, we're not going to score from outside the box. Something completely unpredictable, which Arsenal have been predictable for years.
Mo and I were actually discussing players like that, like who was the last player to kind of be that X factor, and we were talking about Fabregas, and then we remembered Arshavin was supposed to be this kind of guy.
Yeah, he was supposed to be the guy, that's true. Really quickly, again, there's a couple of other points to talk about, but running through the goals, Mertesacker scored the header for the third.
Header is generous.
The shoulder. And Giroud scored the last with just his usual flick at the front post. But in this game, we talked about Wenger's choice to play Walcott up front. Chesney played in goal.
Did well.
A lot of people thought Ospina would play. He did well. He kind of, I think the game plan was every time the ball goes into the box, Chesney, you just come out and get it before Benteke does. Yep. That, you could see it. It was a game plan. Because Szczęsny was an absolute beast at center back.
Okay, to be fair, there wasn't much traffic that was coming in.
That's because of how good he was.
Because Szczęsny was a rock. He was absolutely fantastic in this game, but again, there was nothing for
Coughlin,
him.
Coughlin, Cazorla.
The supply line to Benteke was cut off. So,
That brings us to the point of Coughlin. Like, he just stopped anything and everything going through midfield. He was fantastic.
Coughlin had a great game. Yeah. Almost ruined it for himself towards the end.
Yeah.
Because it was a foul.
It was a foul.
And
it wasn't a
penalty. If you saw the referee's positioning, he couldn't see anything.
He couldn't. No.
He can't give that because there are three guys in his way. He couldn't see it at all.
I do actually feel a bit bad for Villa because that was a foul. And then I think the Bellerin one on Grealish was probably also a foul.
Yeah. In the first half?
After that.
End.
Yeah.
Okay.
He pulled him on the side. Yeah. The game concluded 4-0. Arsenal celebrations. Two FA Cups on the trot, which is quite impressive for Wenger, to be honest. Two trophies in 2 years. So, like we said, Wenger with 6 FA Cups now, Arsenal with 12. Not bad.
You said that one of the late substitutions was Oxlade-Chamberlain. You said that wasn't even planned, right?
Yeah. Ox, at the end of the game, they asked him, so how was the game? He told them how the game was. And he goes, are you happy that the boss gave you a run out? And he goes, well, I kind of forced that substitution. They're like, what do you mean? He's like, well, he never asked me to warm up. I just kind of got up and started warming up. And then I kind of asked Arteta to put in a good word for me. So Arteta kind of went, boss, Ox kind of wants to play. So Wenger's like, and then Ox is like, yes. Wenger came up to me and said, all right, enjoy yourself. Here's 10 minutes.
That makes me feel even worse for Rosicki.
Oh, man.
But yeah, so that's that for the FA Cup. The next cup, we've got four today, actually.
Just one final point. Yeah. That puts Southampton into the Europa League.
Yes. Correct. I think. I mean, as and a little side note, it's kind of important for them. I think they want to.
You wonder if they were hoping that Villa would win.
Yeah, I was wondering.
That's absolutely massive for Southampton. They were nowhere last season.
Yeah.
Well,
as in the beginning, in the summer, yeah.
Like, they were League Two a few years ago.
Yeah.
This is cool.
This is huge for them. Like, and we had this discussion last week whether or not you would take the European competition as Southampton, but I think it is good for them.
I think they'll find it good fun. You know?
Yeah.
The travels, it'll be fun. Yeah. That's how they
And Klein says he might stay, so...
For
two pieces of good news.
Oh, yes, and about Klein. So the transfer rumors with United surrounding Klein are now cooling off because United are reportedly uninterested.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so that means he's joining them next week. Okay.
So which means, I think I said their interest is declining at this point. Let's move on to our second cup of the day. The Copa del Rey in Spain. This one, I mean, if Arsenal were favorites... This, you know, it was Atletico.
Did you read some of the quotes before the game? They were asking, is it Valverde who's the coach of Bilbao? And they asked him, how do you stop Messi? And I know people usually say you can't, but he looks at the player, he just went, I don't know.
Just asking me the question, is it hard this time?
It's like, imagine you pick a journalist, ask a question, he asks you that, and you're just like, why? Yeah. Why did I pick you? I don't know why.
Oh, to be fair, after the Champions League final 2011, a similar question was asked to Ferguson. Post-match interview, I think a reporter asked, if you had a blank check right now, which Barcelona player would you sign? And his response was, that's the stupidest question anyone's ever asked.
See, I prefer that answer to that question, and I also like that it's post-match, because you would never answer that question before the match.
You know who they should have asked? Hodgson, because you know who he'd have picked. Mascherano.
That's actually who Ferguson mentioned.
So yes, Bilbao won. Barcelona, I think, ended 3-1 to Barcelona.
3-1 to Barcelona. Two Messi goals.
Messi's first goal was typical Messi. Got the ball down the right, went past 3-4 players, slotted it into
left foot
where he beat Neuer. And, you know, 1-0. The fans are celebrating. There's so much passion around that club. It's really fun to see.
Yeah.
Neymar's second goal was that great tiki-taka goal again from Barca. They haven't done a lot, but Barca are like the team that scores the most tap-ins in the world.
Assist.
It's unbelievable. Just like, boom, 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 here. It's crazy. And then
I think if you score more tap-ins, it probably shows that you're doing something right in the first place.
Yeah, of course.
Tippy tap-in football.
Yeah. Messi scored the third.
Yeah.
Alves has been brilliant this game, by the way. Two assists. He's playing really well. They're going to have a hard time replacing him because he's definitely leaving in the summer now.
Well, he doesn't like the board. He likes the club. He hates them.
But it does beg the question, though, because if Alves leaves, Barca can't buy anyone this summer. And Montoya is... strongly rumored to be joining Liverpool.
Wasn't there Rafinha or the... I can't remember his name, but it was a Brazilian guy who was supposed to take over from Dani Alves.
And then
he hasn't even played a game.
Yeah, I mean, the problem... Actually, when we were watching the Arsenal game, Alex said, in a couple of years or so, Bellerin would be a great buy for Barca, big and back, and just he can just be that Alves guy. Yeah. Just fast, speedy, likes to attack.
Really?
I'm afraid, Alex, that Montoya is not going to Liverpool.
Why?
Because Alves is leaving Barcelona.
So I think
what Roche is saying is he's going to reject Liverpool.
Okay.
I mean, if you're Montoya...
No, on your point, you said, okay, so when Alves leaves, they only have Montoya, some other guy who's never been heard of. So Montoya's obviously not going to go to Liverpool.
Yeah, I mean, maybe now Montoya thinks I'll get playtime.
Yeah, but if I'm Montoya, I'm like, okay, I might get playing time this year, and then they're going to replace me as soon as possible.
Next year, definitely, 100%. But, so...
Okay, maybe.
Yeah.
The two Messi goals and the Neymar goal has taken the trio to 120 goals scored in all competitions, which is higher than, like, I think the top 10 Premier League players put together.
It's like playing Pro Evolution on easy.
Yeah, they beat the record that was once held by Cristiano, Benzema, and Higuain as the most goals by an attacking
trio. What was that, 116 or something?
Something like that. So
in the teens.
They killed it. Neymar has an unbelievable amount of goals this season. It's insane. Like, Messi, okay, but you look at Neymar's numbers.
There's also been a fair few of them that are actually tap-ins.
No, but the tap-ins come from, like, brilliant play. I mean, Messi, they all give each other assists for tap-ins.
It's
Messi
impressive.
Has, like, 30 assists.
It is very impressive.
Yeah. I was going to say, there's not been a strike force that I remember. I mean, I remember some very effective partnerships and strike forces, but apart from maybe York and Cole, this is the only one I see as being so equal.
I like the Ronaldo. I like the Ronaldo Rooney Tevez one.
Yes, that was
I like that one too.
That was,
and there's three of them.
Yes. But they all provide for each other. It's like a little family.
Barca had a few too, with the Eto'o, Ronaldinho,
yeah,
Messi, and then the Henry.
But there was always one that had slightly more focus.
They're the only one that play a front three. who are actually a front three, because Ronaldo, Rooney, Tevez was like a roaming midfield slash attack, like it was weird.
False everything.
But this is, these are three strikers. Yeah. Like, so it's very
So yeah, that's the first two cups of the day. So congratulations to Arsenal and Barcelona. Sticking with Barcelona, let's move on to scouting report.
Let's do it. Dani Alves,
brilliant player. Awful fashion sense. Have you seen? Did you see his haircut today?
Yeah, it looks like a poop.
It's a little poop emoticon. I thought it's worse than Ronaldo's little triangle.
Literally shit.
It is. And his fashion. Have you seen the boots? The golden boots with the with the wings and the
golden boots with poop on head.
Yeah, unbelievable. All right, third cup of the day, the DFB Pokal. Dortmund-Wolfsburg. Dortmund, unfortunately not sending off Klopp with the best of presence, losing 3-1
there.
Well, they've got off to a good start. Fifth minute, Aubameyang, and then it all fell apart. Yeah. Bastos even scored.
Yeah, Gustavo, De Bruyne, and Bastos for Wolfsburg, 3-1 there. It's a good cap for Wolfsburg's season, winning the cup and getting the Champions League spots. Not bad at all.
Fantastic season. Yeah. Absolutely fantastic. Signing Schürrle, becoming the second biggest force in the Bundesliga and winning the cup.
Fantastic. Well, we did say it's kind of like a rotisserie, like who's the second best in Germany. It keeps moving. Now it's Wolfsburg, it's Dortmund.
Exactly, yeah. But you know, the De Bruyne and Schürrle combination has been fantastic for them. And Bastos.
I know, you're not going to let us forget about Bastos. don't worry, we won't forget.
He may not be the hottest striker in Europe, but he's getting the job done.
He is.
Were you talking about his looks?
No. No.
I mean, not everyone can be Olivier Giroud.
Whoa.
Oh, you see his hair today as well? Olivier Giroud? Oh. He came on with like this golden...
It matched the kit.
I think that's why he went on the bench.
Yeah.
Someone's popular.
That's not me.
I believe that's a yellow card.
It is a yellow card. Another one. Sending off.
Sending off for dissent.
Well, speaking of sending off, Danke Klopp was... Sent off trending today.
Really poorly.
So yeah, he's gone. He didn't pick where he's going yet, did he?
Not as bad as a Steven Gerrard farewell though.
So I don't know if anyone heard Football Weekly.
Same score line.
5-1 though?
3-1. No, sorry. Yeah, I'm talking about Anfield.
Yeah.
Shambles.
Go ahead.
I don't know if you heard Football Weekly the other day, but Rafa Honigstein was on. You know how Klopp said that he was having a 6-month sabbatical?
Mm-hmm.
Honigstein live on air texted Klopp's agent. And then checked his phone, and Klopp's agent said, "Maybe not, winky face."
That's,
you know what? Maybe not means the same
thing
as maybe.
You know what? I'd get really upset if I was kind of set up live.
Well, it was pre-recorded, but like,
okay,
you know,
no, but as in,
was
yeah,
the message shown to the camera? Was the number
it's a podcast,
verified?
Okay.
There we go.
So was it? You got
no
your
one
answer.
Can verify any of these facts.
So yeah, congratulations to Wolfsburg. Moving on to the fourth cup of the year, of the day, I guess.
Yeah.
Coupe de France. Auxerre losing to PSG 1-0.
So what?
PSG getting the first ever French domestic treble. Very impressive.
Yeah. The league, the cup, and the cup.
The league, the cup, and the cup. Yeah.
This was a bizarre game, though. I mean, we kind of watched it in fits and starts, but no atmosphere. At 79 minutes, last 10 minutes of the game, turned it back on, and Auxerre were 1-0 down, which in the last 10 minutes of a cup final is not the worst position to be in.
No.
It's clearly not the best, but it's also not the worst. And they weren't even really going for it. They were attacking with two or three guys. Like, PSG were just strolling around.
I remember...
Alright, scene sounds like match fixing. You know,
no, but
France did vote for Blatter.
I was in the other room, and Alex and my brother were watching it together. I just hear them laughing. I'm like, what are you laughing about? It's like, no one cares. Nothing's happening in these last 10 minutes.
The people on the bench aren't excited. Yeah. Like, nothing.
But, so the next thing for PSG is the Champions League, definitely. I mean, that's what the owners want. That's what the players want. Pastore got a new 4-year contract for his great performances and apparently a really big pay rise.
He deserves it.
He does.
He went through 2 years of... I think he was going to leave.
Yeah, he was
at one
bad,
point.
Yeah.
He was, you know, confidence was gone. Mm-hmm. He was out of form. But this season, he was a candidate for player of the year in France.
Yep,
he was
correct.
That good.
Lavezzi and speaking of people leaving, Lavezzi, Kabay... They're apparently all leaving PSG. They're going to try and kind of bring in new blood for that Champions League. It's all about that Champions League. And you think, I mean, do you think they can do it? You think
no.
They can win a Champions League?
No.
They're a few years off the pace, I'd say.
I think as long as Real Madrid, Barcelona, Bayern Munich, are going to be the teams that they are, I don't think they're going to win it.
No, that's true.
It doesn't matter who they bring. Because firstly, Paris Saint-Germain is a big team. We know that. They have the money to spend and everything. But not... Aside from Zlatan and Thiago Silva, they haven't got that caliber of player who's come in younger. Ever since.
Yes. It's not getting any younger. Exactly. Ibra. Good point. Yes. So it's tough to see how the continuity happens. Like, once Ibra's done, then what? You got to get a really big signing.
You have to lean on Cavani.
Well, Cavani, by the way, who scored the winning goal today, he kind of scores under the radar. Like, he gets his stats, but he's not... He doesn't look good for 90 minutes.
Well, he needs to be the central striker. Ibrahimovic
on the left today. Yeah. He's playing like box-to-box left winger.
I think it's worth mentioning Labezzi has not really filled his shoes.
Or Lucas. Lucas
had a pretty good season until he got injured. But Labezzi is useless. I absolutely cannot stand Labezzi.
Oh, well, the rumors are that Spurs want him.
I can't see it.
That explains a lot.
Yeah, but yeah. I can't. That would be a waste of money. I don't see him doing anything.
Maybe Liverpool. I could see that.
Whoa, whoa.
Yeah.
Well, their transfer record in the last,
In the last... the last Brendan years.
The last few decades.
Ever since Ian Eyre has been there,
Yeah. So, again, as we congratulate the three previous winners, congratulations to PSG.
Yeah.
Great season overall. I mean, they did lose to Barcelona in the Champions League, but if you're going to lose, you're going to lose to Barcelona. You can't fault them for that. Barcelona's performance.
Taking out Chelsea was a definite highlight of their season.
Oh, yes.
Correct.
What for everyone, comeback. Not just for them.
Did you guys see David Luiz making Team of the Year in France?
France, yeah, sure.
Yeah, but I don't know, did he have that good of a season in the Liga? I saw him, it felt a bit choppy.
Listen, when you're Paris Saint-Germain, right, you're better than everyone around you anyway. So, but David Luiz could not make the team of the year.
To be fair, it got kind of scary at the end there.
Who are the other competitors for that position?
David Luiz made an unbelievable mistake in the first, 8 seconds of this game. Like, it was typical, it was perfect David Luiz. Chests the ball down under no pressure whatsoever, should have just played an easy pass, decides instead to turn round and try to shield the ball, and
for
then
no reason.
And then someone nutmegged him. First 8 seconds of the game.
Was it Suarez?
It was unbelievable.
He's just a brilliant disaster. There's nothing else.
He's entertaining. I'll give him that. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah.
It's a kamikaze centre back.
It's that hair.
Mm-hmm. All right. So congratulations to our four winners. Yep. It's been a great day of cup games. I certainly enjoyed it. Let's move on to Move of the Week.
Move
of the Week.
So our first Mumu this week is Wojciech Szczesny's father. He came out with some outlandish things to say about Arsene Wenger. And it's not the first time. I remember last time he called someone a rhino, Mertesacker.
Mertesacker, rhino.
Well, every time he runs out of money, he comes back
with some crazy stuff. Mm-hmm. So this week he said, Mr. Wenger is simply not loyal to people. He does not always keep his word and is not honest. Wenger claims it is a cigarette ash on his suit jacket, whereas in fact, it's his own dandruff. And then went on to say that Wenger should allow Szczesny to leave, but Szczesny's better than Fabianski, so he can't go to Swansea and some stuff. And then Wojciech, is that how it is? Wojciech said, I really shouldn't be dealing with this one day before the FA Cup final, but my father leaves me no choice. And then he goes on to say how he hasn't spoken to his father in 2 years and he's idiotic.
Yeah, he actually called him an idiot.
Yeah.
Wow.
And he is an idiot. And Wenger actually did... Wojciech says he did actually say, I owe Wenger a lot. He's the man that gave me my chance, blah, blah, blah.
I mean, if he's the wrong person to call disloyal. He's loyal to a fault. Let's interview Abu Dhabi and see who's loyal.
Seriously. Thomas Ruzicki is still there.
Yeah.
Even Van Persie.
Yeah.
Anyways, the examples are endless, but the point is, the reporter wants to write that Arsene Wenger is an idiot, but he can't just straight up say it. So he gets someone else to say it and then quotes him.
Well, my favorite was the cigarette ash, but it's really his own dandruff.
Yeah, that's not a bad.
I have a feeling that was one of those sayings that they have
in Poland or something.
My favorite Polish saying is if something is you think it's not your problem. You say, not my circus, not my monkey, is the direct translation.
Right, which is also slightly
aren't
racist.
Aren't they big
on racism? Yeah.
Aren't they big on circuses?
The other Mumu, our second Mumu, which I brought up, was I was watching the FIFA scandal unfold, and we will talk about it in the next segment. But the FBI guy, he stood up there. He's 100% American accent. It was unbelievable. He stood up there. He looked so proud, and he said, this is the World Cup of corruption. And we are giving FIFA a red card. And my insides wanted to be on the outside. You know what I mean? I felt so disgusted that he tried to work in soccer terms when he clearly has never seen a game. It just bothered me so much.
You know what? I'll give him a few points for trying.
See, Green's I remember him when he was writing it. He's like, guys, check this out. This is what I'm going to say today.
Let's appeal to the peasants. Speak their language.
Right, well, that was a good start. Let's continue talking about FIFA, shall we?
Yes.
They've kind of blown Moomoo's segment a bit out of the water. We were like, should we put them in? No, they deserve a whole segment to themselves. Bernie, you've been following this probably more closely than any of us.
What happened?
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
has he?
I mean, what? Should we start with the facts?
Is he the father?
Seth Blatter denies it.
Okay.
Actually, no. He is a godfather of women's football, apparently.
Oh, true.
Or
right.
Something like that. I don't know who the father is, but... I mean, so the fact of the matter is, the IRS, FBI, Department of Justice have all come together, and they...
The Avengers.
Yeah,
I prefer Justice League.
Even right. them.
Yeah,
guys, you're missing the joke. The Department of Justice League.
That's what. That's why reminded me of it.
Come on, yes, come on.
Yes.
Anyway.
DOJL, as it's commonly known.
So they brought up charges against, I think, 14 FIFA officials. They had an extradition treaty with Switzerland, and they brought them over, arrested them. Yada yada yada.
Quick question. I thought not the whole point of Switzerland, but I thought like the thing about Switzerland is you're safe.
Your but money is.
They have police too.
No, as in. You don't get extradited. That's all about Switzerland.
No. Your money is safe. They don't care about you.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. Most of the people arrested weren't Swiss.
Right.
So the Swiss can't, you know.
Yes. Bernie, keep all right, now move.
Well, fact of the matter is, the corruption charges have come up, and as you said, they made that ridiculous quote. But Loretta Lynch.
Yes.
That's a tongue twister there.
Yeah.
The Attorney General of the United States came out and said, this stuff goes back 20 years.
Or better known as the girl from Fast and Furious.
Wow.
Was that her name?
Loretta.
I have no idea.
Oh, Loretta.
Loretta, that's Cleveland's wife from Family Guy.
There we go. Guys, we're just putting a happy spin on things.
No, I think she kind of looks like Cleveland's wife, to be fair.
Oh.
No, that's not bad.
That's not bad. Cleveland's life was a great
life. Cleveland's got a great life.
He did well for himself.
But.
Now.
But saying, so she's saying that these charges, a lot of these incidents that they're talking about go back 20 plus years.
Right.
You know, even back to how the U.S. got World Cup 94 and things like Brazil and how they have their sponsorship deal with Nike,
South Africa's
World Cup, all sorts of allegations and accusations.
Copa America is big apparently.
Yeah, and they're going, now they're saying that there are going to be even more indictments.
Apparently she's like, you've seen nothing.
Oh, this is the tip of the massive iceberg. Yeah.
I'm waiting with my fork and knife and my popcorn. Not that I'm going to eat my popcorn with a fork and knife by any means.
Well, I would like to see that.
It's just about time that we've seen all of this get blown out in the water.
The thing that's the real contentious part of this is that most of the people who have been charged and arrested so far are high up in FIFA.
They're up to the vice president.
Many of them vice presidents. A lot, most of them in CONCACAF so far that we know about. We know there's going to be charges brought against other guys. But it's interesting that Sepp Blatter can look us all in the face and say, I have no idea about any of this
he
stuff.
Did
Meanwhile,
say,
they are his vice president.
He did say, I can't monitor everyone 24/7. If people want to cheat, they will cheat, blah, blah, blah.
But Blatter himself is also doing
it. It looks
things.
Like Blatter, I mean, to me, it looks like Blatter has no paper trail. The others were a bit more stupid to have some, maybe. I don't know. But Blatter seems to be like, he looks pretty common. I mean, they had the FIFA voting yesterday, and he won. Well, he won, but it needed to go to a second round. Mm-hmm. But then Prince Ali just said, I don't have the votes. What's the point?
Which is such a shame.
Which is what everyone on Twitter was saying. I was like, what's the point? What's the point of going to a second round if you've lost by, like, so much? Right? Anyways, point is, Blatter won fifth term. Yeah. He's been there since 98. The guy's, like, 70-something.
Well, the guy before him,
Havelange, was there for 24 years.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's a precedent for this.
Well, so clearly that's...
But the thing about Blatter is, firstly, the two election cycles in a row, he said he was going to quit, which he didn't do, which I find ridiculous, especially at his age. But when he ran in 98... and won, right? He came out and said, I am continuing what Havelange did.
Yeah.
He wasn't a reformer, the guy he was running against, I think Leonard Johansson, was a reformer. So Blatter has been keeping FIFA the way it is for basically now 40,
that's why he gets
40 plus years.
Yeah, but
now.
That's why you vote for a guy. It's like, some people say it's the lesser of two evils, like one evil is the unknown, and the other is Blatter. So you go with him because you're happy with how things are running. A lot of people are involved in the corruption stuff, like FAs are involved, sponsors are involved, and you know what you know is better than what you don't know.
But here's the thing too, is that prior to this, FIFA was very Eurocentric in the mid to like later part of the 20th century, very Eurocentric. Most of the rest of the world felt excluded. And Blatter has changed that.
Yes.
And they're, part of that legacy is a good thing.
Yeah.
Right? But not the way they went about it, and that is the problem. But the thing is that the rest of the world is not going to vote for someone they think is going to take FIFA back to being Eurocentric.
That's a problem. A lot of the Euro votes got split, and he lost a lot of them. But he doesn't lose the Asia votes. He doesn't lose the Africa votes. I mean, he's the guy that said, I'm tired of the World Cup being, you know, where you expect it to be.
Right.
And that's why now it's, you know, South Africa followed by Russia followed by Qatar. So he's banking on these votes, not the Euro. He doesn't care what the French FA have to say, what the English FA. No, he doesn't care about those.
I agree with him on that point.
Yes.
I do. I don't like the way he goes about it and the way they go about it, because you have a bunch of old men, right, who have no experience of football. People who didn't even, haven't even grown up watching
businessmen,
football. They're business executives, and they're running an organization that, you know, me, you, that we're all supposed to be loving and enjoying, and they are ruining the thing.
Yeah.
And what annoys me about the Eurocentrism, right, is that if you look at Holland, the president of the Dutch FA, came out and said, he's the president, but there was another guy who came out and said, the European nations, Holland, France, England, Spain, Italy, are the ones who are, you know, everyone's watching.
Yeah.
You know, they're the big footballing nations. We should have more of a say. I think that's ridiculous.
That is ridiculous. Mm-hmm.
If it's a global game, you cannot have one group having more power than the
other. You're gonna start having vetoing and like in FIFA. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So I mean, we've seen that big industries, the high players, are regulated by the government and stuff. But when you're talking about FIFA, which is a world organization, you're touching 1.6 billion people, which is a fact. And they have no regulations whatsoever.
Absolutely. They're not accountable to anyone.
Yeah, and so Blatter and his crew is everyone who just got indicted.
Accountability is what really makes things work.
They are just blowing all the money and say, hey, you want a program in your country? Here's $100, and then 35 of it goes in your pocket.
Yeah.
You make me look good.
Well, you know why they can do that? Because they are a registered not-for-profit organization.
Yeah.
Which is a big lie.
But what people also say, what FIFA tried to say, or like what people that side with FIFA say, is yes, there is a lot of corruption, a lot of money that goes in pockets, but there's also a lot of money that goes in the game. So they're kind of saying, look, yes, there is corruption, I am taking money in my pocket, but there's still a lot going in. Sure, it's not all of it, but there's still a lot.
Well, sure, but like, why should we settle for that?
Yeah.
I mean, it's weird though, because they make most of their money from the FA Cup. FA Cup.
Today was payday.
Today was payday. From the World Cup, sorry. So they make a huge boatload of cash once every 4 years, and then go about spending it or siphoning it off.
On election campaigns.
Yeah.
I was going to say, so yes, they make a lot of revenue from these TV shows, these events. But who regulates how much of it goes where? What are the allocations?
Well, we saw when FIFA...
Who values these things?
When someone accused FIFA of like foul play, FIFA said, we'll conduct our own investigation. And then they came out and said, the investigation showed that everything was great.
Yeah.
So they're...
And the guy who wrote the report said, no, that's not what actually my report says.
Yeah. Oh, half of it's blanked out. But trust me, you didn't need to see that.
And every whistleblower has been just put away, legally.
Absolutely.
And I don't know how that's even possible.
And here's the other thing, is that some people are held accountable by their sponsors, because the sponsor can't be associated with you if you're this immoral or if you've done something criminal.
Right.
But FIFA sponsors are pathetic. Nike, McDonald's, whoever it may be, they don't say anything about migrant workers dying in Qatar. They say nothing. Oh, but suddenly when FIFA's in the spotlight and people are being indicted, suddenly they release a statement saying, we need to be careful, we're concerned about the ethics.
Right.
Where were you before?
Well, what's even more pathetic is none of this is going to affect that decision.
No, you're right. Like, the problem with me is I'm a bit cynical in the sense that, sure, FIFA's being highlighted, but this is how everything in the world works to me. Anyways, that's how I see it. That's how things get done. Like, to me, you look at a lot of clothing manufacturers outside of the World Cup, outside of FIFA. Clothes are being made, you know, in third world countries with not even minimum wage, blah, blah, blah. Like, this is how things work. So FIFA is not any different. It's great we're doing this, but it's just, that's how things work. Like, I mean, you see, the amount of money people are going to lose if you take the World Cup away from Russia, it's going to get, like, dangerous.
I don't think legally they can do that.
They can.
Personally.
I don't think they can.
I don't think that they can.
Putin's already kicked off about this, calling it basically an American conspiracy, which, to an extent, he has some points there.
Of course.
Because
of course.
This whole thing came like a week, or no, not even a week, but like a month after a bunch of US senators wrote to Sepp Blatter asking him to take the
World
Cup.
But the thing about the US is, and that is very valid, it is a bit of a conspiracy.
They're not
going to
do it if it doesn't help.
But here's the thing that that people are forgetting. The people who've been indicted right now, right, are CONCACAF people.
Mm-hmm.
They brought in Chuck Blazer as a whistleblower who they got, and because he's an American citizen, you can charge him. The CONCACAF headquarters is where? In the U.S.
Yeah.
U.S. soccer, like, the offices are there. A lot of these FIFA bank accounts are in the US. They actually do have jurisdiction to do any of this stuff, yeah, because they are, for tax purposes, it's within their jurisdiction. Right. So they can do it.
I was talking to a Russian coworker of mine, and it just, when I was talking to him about this, it gave me another perspective. We keep talking legally, politically, ethically, morally. But then he literally just said the simplest thing to me. He just said, I really hope they don't take the World Cup away from Russia. It's in my hometown, and I'm really looking forward to it. Like, it just kind of hit me that, like, we're talking about it such high level, but people in Russia, people in Qatar, outside of all of this, really look forward to this.
That's great, but sorry, I don't care, because that would be the case wherever it was.
No. I'm just saying there's another way of looking at it. It's like, yes, it's the right thing to do, possibly, but it would affect a lot of people who are really looking forward to it.
That is 100% accurate. And this is why I've said, like, even when we've talked about this and written articles about it, I don't think you should take the World Cup away from Russia. I don't think you should take the World Cup away from Qatar.
But reform. Do something about it.
I think the problem was they made the mistake in the first place. Russia is one of the most racist places in the world. You should never even consider their bid.
Agreed.
Qatar having a summer World Cup
is
morally wrong, because now I'm saying it's morally wrong because they're switching it to winter. What if, why wouldn't the other bids, maybe if they switched it to winter, then other bids would have been like, no, we don't want to do this.
True.
That's wrong, but you can't change that now.
No, you can't.
Deal with it and change your organization.
But what you can do is you can also deal with all the Qatari workers. Now. You can deal with it now and actually change it now. Keep the work up there, but change it from now.
And it's arguably even too late now. I mean, hundreds have died already.
But there's still how many years? I don't know, eight years, whatever.
It's in motion.
Right?
The stadiums have to be built by a certain date. It's not going to change.
Doctor Evil or something. But two little moments.
He looks like him a little.
He does a bit. Two moments of mental light relief. One, Chuck Blazer, perfect guy to wear a wire. Just hide it in the rolls of fat. Perfect.
But you won't get any.
Or his beard.
Or the beard.
It's a good filter too. Good sound quality.
Or you could put it on his parrot that travels with him. Mental. Anyway, second one, Peter Crouch's tweet, which was wonderful. I knew there was something wrong with FIFA or something dodgy about FIFA when I wasn't nominated for the Ballon d'Or.
Yes.
Love it.
Hey,
love it.
I want to start a new hashtag. Justice for, what's his name?
Peter.
Alright guys, brilliant FIFA talk, I really enjoyed that. Let's move on to TFC really quickly. They are currently playing. Can someone whip out their phone?
Yes, a brilliant couple of goals in the first half.
Yes, we saw up to 2-1, which was the first half score. Toronto's goals were actually quite impressive.
Unbelievable. Sebastian Giovinco with a little step over.
Brilliant assist.
Diving header, one that I would have been proud of, and I certainly was.
Not him, by the way, but he assisted it.
Moro with the diving header, and Osorio with the beautiful reverse ball to Giovinco.
And then the second goal from, not Cleveland, what's his name, similar, Cavalier or something like that.
Sorry guys, six minutes to go, and TFC are up 3-1.
Ooh, beautiful. Who scored the third?
I'm going to find that out.
All
if
right.
we keep talking.
While
long
you
enough.
Do that, let's discuss how quickly TFC conceded their goal after going 1-0 up.
We laughed.
Within about 30 seconds.
So let me describe the
scene.
Emotion
that
was going on. So TFC scored this beautifully crafted goal, and riots all over Toronto. They must have been turning cars over in Woodbridge in Italian.
Italy.
Yeah. Meatballs flying everywhere.
Yeah, meatballs, wife beaters, everything. And then within 30 seconds, a handball in the penalty area.
to bring it all down.
And the best part about that was it was in front of the TFC supporters, so the flares had gone out. You could just see the red smoke.
They were celebrating the penalty decision.
And the penalty comes right in front of them.
Right.
It was tragic. The goalkeeper almost saved it. It was 1-1.
I was mid-tweet about the goal, and I had to cancel it.
Yeah, because it wouldn't have made sense.
Yeah.
I was
Luke
just saying,
Moore with the third goal.
Oh.
What did you say about Luke Moore?
I said Luke Moore was too fat to even celebrate.
I saw
everyone was celebrating TFC's second goal, and he was just standing there.
He was like struggling to reach the rest of the team.
Right. The other thing we wanted to talk about, so congrats to, I'm pretty sure they're not going to bottle this now with 6 minutes to go.
Well, if anyone could.
Speaking of anything actually, there was rumors in February that they might change the sponsors from BMO.
Right.
They haven't renewed it and whatever, but the talk is they have. But we thought we'd have a little fun with who could possibly replace BMO. The strong candidates in reality were Pizza Pizza.
That's horrendous.
That would have been horrendous.
Never.
That would have been another Raptors game where if TFC scored 3, you get free pizza.
Well, you'd never get free pizza.
Yeah, well, today you would.
Well,
not that if they win a game, you get free pizza.
Not that you'd even want that pizza.
No,
Jesus.
It's terrible.
Terrible. It really is. I don't even want that pizza.
Like, you're already getting almost free pizza for free. It's almost free anyways.
It should be, and I know this wouldn't be any help to you, but it should be a lager. Bring it back to the days where it was a lager. Holston for Spurs. What was it? Carling for Liverpool. That was great. make it steam whistle. Local Carlsberg for local the Toronto Pilsner, and everyone gets a free steam whistle.
We also talked about second cup, but the problem with second cup is the Twitter jokes would start with, "I've never seen a cup."
Yeah. You know what?
That's great. You know what? The sponsor should be TD, and you know why? Because now the Argos are there. Every time they score a touchdown, you remember the TD.
Also, TDTFC.
Not bad. Yeah, TDFC. Brilliant. Guys, you know what? We're going to write to whoever makes the decisions at the MLSC.
Who are you going
to Danny Dicky.
Babi Vitchenko.
It's definitely...
What's his name? Bab? I can't say it.
Bezbachenko?
Yeah, him. All right, guys.
Putin? What?
Definitely not Danny Dicky.
We'll talk to Blatter about
it. Let's just say go TFC and boo to the Argos.
Sure. Yes. I mean, let's just get sucked into the bag.
They need to all go away is what they need to do.
Ew.
Bernie, please stop.
Thank you for downloading the KoshCast. Get in touch at underthekoshblog@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at under_thekosh. And for articles, predictions, and the full experience, go to underthekoshblog.com.